Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We're a church in Gahanna, Ohio that exists to help people find and follow God. We hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and helps you discover how much God really loves you.
Well, good morning, second service. Man, we had a great, great time in first service and just witnessing this, the truth of the Lord that went forth and just really getting the opportunity to see how God is really impacting his people through his word. If you're new here, we are so welcome and so grateful that you are here. We want to welcome you. We pray that when you came through the doors, you felt extremely loved and valued. We realize that you guys could have went and chosen to serve anywhere, but the fact that you chose to be with us here this morning at Three Creeks really means a lot to us. My name is John Scott IV, and I serve as our Connections Pastor here. And so I love what I get to do, cherish it, and so grateful just to be here this morning with you, just to share a little bit of what God has placed on my heart through this text. We're back. So like last week, those of you who have been with us, we took a little break off from our series in Philippians, Finding Joy, and we decided to just celebrate our church turning two. I mean, I've only been here for 6 months thus far, but even in those 6 months, we have so much to be grateful and thankful for to the Lord. And so it was really a joy to really take some time and to pause and reflect on all the things God has done through our church in these 2 years and how he's grown us and grown his people through his word. And so we had the chance to just to celebrate that. And then that following night, last Sunday, we just prayed through all that God has done, the things that he's currently doing, and just was seeking his face and moving forward to the future and knowing and believing that the best is yet to come. And so now we're back this Sunday, back into the book of Philippians, really looking at where Paul has been, I feel like, slapping us across the face the entire time, trying to tell us, hey, I'm not encouraging you to live a happy life or a comfort life, but I want you to live a life that's full of joy, that despite whatever life circumstances that you may face, that you could walk in this victorious joy that is only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to continue to unpack that. Just to give you a bit of an overview of where we are in the book of Philippians, you know, Paul has essentially, this church of Philippi is like his baby. If you look at him and you're reading this letter compared to other letters that he have written to churches prior to this particular letter, you know for a fact that Paul, the church of Philippi, is near and dear to Paul's heart. If you don't believe me, go read some of the letters that are written to the Corinthians. It has a completely different tone to it. But Paul is writing to the church of Philippi to just, again, as I stated before, to encourage them to live this joy-filled life that is only found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And so that's what we'll be diving back into this morning. If you are here and you don't have a Bible to necessarily follow along, I want to let you know that in the back of the auditorium there at the table, we have Bibles there for you to have. And not just for this morning, but you can keep them. They're yours and you can bring them back anytime you want to fellowship with us and worship with us. But we're going to pray and we're going to dive right into the message here. Lord, we are so grateful for your faithfulness, for your love and your grace and mercy that you lavish upon us daily. We thank you for your word, this truth that we can cling closely to, God, in moments where we're feeling great and even in the lowest of moments. Father, I thank you for the cross, and I pray that we will be a people that will fix our eyes to the finished work of that rather than our own good deeds or good works that we may try to put forth to make you smile. I pray this morning that our hearts and minds will be open to receive your truth, that you would truly do a work in the lives of your people, that we would not leave here the same as we came. We thank you, and we praise you in excitement for what's yet to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as I get ready to dive into the text here, before I do that, I want to ask you guys simply a couple of rhetorical questions that I want you guys to really ponder about and think about. First question, Ben, is this: how do we as a people get right with God? How do we get in right standing with God? Second question, how can we be confident and sure on how to get to heaven? How can we be confident and sure on how that we as a people, what do we need to do in order to get to heaven? And the last question that I would pose to you and ask you is, how confident and sure are you of your answers that you're thinking about? How confident and sure are you of your answers to those two questions? My heart's goal here this morning is that you would leave here, whether you say, man, I was on point and I knew the answers to those questions, or maybe you're just sitting there like, John, I have no clue. It's my heart that you guys would leave here having the confidence and the knowledge in knowing the answers to those questions, because I believe that they're found here in this text. And it's a big deal. I think we as a people, we like to pull on certain things. Sometimes we like to write our own laws, or we want to be the Lord of our own lives and make up our own things. But in order to be in right standing with God, or in order, there are certain things as far as like leading us into heaven that we need to do. It's not according to our laws or our rules that we make up for ourselves, but rather I think Paul screams at us in Philippians chapter 3 and let us know the answers to that. And so it's my hope that we leave here with this knowledge and understanding of that, and that we be a people that confidently and boldly walk in that truth. So if you got your Bibles with you, you can open them to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start here at verse 1. And it says, Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. What Paul is urging or talking to the church of Philippi here in this text here, first of all, at the very beginning, we know from reading the text that this thing that he's about to share with them, it's not something that they hadn't heard before. Actually, Paul goes, hey, this don't give me any worry at all to communicate this thing to you again, this idea to you again. Like, and it also, it serves as a safeguard for you. So with great joy, I come before you to share this truth once again. And that truth is simply this. Be aware of those evildoers, those mutilators, those dogs. In this text here, he's using some very, very harsh terms that would be articulated back in that day. But also, I think we can get the idea from what he's using here and what is translated here for us in the text. And what the people he's acknowledging or talking about are individuals that, there was a group of people called the Judaizers that were saying, hey, yes, you know, as far as salvation or you being right with God, yes, it can be through Jesus Christ, but it's also through X, Y, and Z as well. That Christ's death on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection is not just enough for you, but it's rather you also walking and carrying out these laws. And so Paul is screaming to the church of Philippi, was like, no. I've shared this with you before, and it brings me great joy to share it with you again, and it also saves a safeguard for you. Be aware of these individuals that's sharing this false message, this message of Jesus and that gets you right with God. That's not the truth. It's not the gospel at all that was shared with you from the beginning. So don't find yourself in a rut of believing that even more so now. And I believe if Paul was with us here in this day and age today, the message is it's the same for us today. There are so many people and things in our culture that are screaming out maybe Christ or other things, and that brings about some type of right standing with a God or the God, Jesus Christ, that people are grabbing a hold to. And Paul is saying, no, don't find yourself in those situations. In fact, to give you guys a couple examples, in the religion of Hinduism, it gives the world the law of the karma. If you do good stuff, the result is good karma. When then good things will happen to you. Vice versa, if you do bad things, it results in bad karma, and bad things happen to you. It's this idea of you putting forth some type of work to be in right standing with God. Buddhism, man is his own, and the path of salvation is the path of self-effort. Me putting forth, me having confidence in my flesh and the things that I can do, brings about me being in right standing with God. Islam, salvation is based on a system of good works. You do these things, that which Allah says for you to do, and you receive the reward and eternity that comes along with it. Going forward, Mormonism, I can go on and on, offers the world a way that a man can move from step to step in goodness and in good works and achieve eventually God status. And last one here, Jehovah's Witness minimizes the effect of Christ's blood and instead establishes alongside with it this whole system of good works for people to act and to do. And now you can look at me and go, well, John, those are all false religions. Like, we expect that from them. But I would pose the idea that even in Christianity, where that for sure is now the foundation of our faith, we as a people find ourselves walking or really participating in this works-based faith. That we believe time and time again that if I just do enough, or if I read enough or pray enough, that somehow this will make God smile and I will gain favor with him and he'll be pleased with me, I'll be right in right standing with him. There was this old survey done to a group of evangelical Christians like ourselves that attend like Bible preaching churches, and the questions that I posed to you at the beginning of this message were some of the same questions that were asked to them. How does one get right with God? How can one be confident and sure of them getting into heaven? And some of the answers that were shared was answers such as, because I'm a good person, because I love people, because I try and try and try my hardest to do the things that God tells me to do. And so I'm telling you this, that although this is not a foundation, or we would all, those of us who are believers, would agree that this is not something that pleases the Lord, we at times find ourselves in the rut of believing those very same things. And Paul is saying, man, get rid of that. Beware of that message. Anyone who's preaching that, let's not listen to them. You know that's not the truth. That wasn't the truth that was shared with you at the beginning. And it's sure enough, it's not going to be the thing that sustain you over just the course of you following and being with the Lord. And I this idea of not putting our hope in our confidence in the flesh, as if that's not very clear enough and just cut and dry to the people, Paul goes on further in the text that we're about to get ready to read to really, I mean, he uses himself as an analogy or as an example to really hit home on this point of the importance of not putting our hope and confidence in the flesh, in the things that we can do. So verse 4 here, it says, though I myself have reason for such confidence, if someone else thinks that they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's like, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews in regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, he was found faultless. And so Paul is simply saying, here's my spiritual resume. Here's the things that I have done. If the Lord was pleased and honored by the work list or the good deeds that you can do to be deemed right with God, if that was such a thing that was acceptable, look at me. Like, I am a Christian of all Christians, Paul is screaming out here. And just to walk through that, as I was studying that, I'm like, okay, well, what's the importance of all these things, Paul, that you're writing down on here? Just to walk through, we're going to walk through real quick his spiritual resume. So Paul, starting off, he says, I was circumcised on the 8th day. If you go back to the book of Leviticus, there was just a couple of culture or things that were done to be put into practice, to be symbolized as you were a child of God. You were God's chosen people. And one of those things was for the nation of Israel, if you were born into that, that you would be circumcised on the 8th day. So Paul goes, check, you can check that off. People who was converted into Christianity before Christ dying, they got circumcised after the fact. But Paul's like, no, God demanded that we be circumcised on the 8th day when we're born. And boom, that's what I did. He goes on to say that I am a pure blood of the Israelites. He was born into the nation of Israel, where that was God's chosen people that we see all throughout the Old Testament. Moving from there, he's like, I was born into the tribe of Benjamin. When we did our We Want a King series back in the fall, when the nation of Israel was like, hey, we want a king, we want to be like everyone else, the tribe of Benjamin was the tribe of like the leaders. People looked to the tribe of Benjamin, actually saw the first king of the Israelites was also from the tribe of Benjamin. And so it held great weight for him to put that on his spiritual resume to say, hey, I was born into this tribe where the nation of Israel looked to these people as we were the leaders amongst the leaders of God's people. From there, he goes down to say, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. At this particular time, some of the Hebrews had got caught up in this deal of adopting other cultures and really finding themselves deterring away from the Hebrew type of culture. But Paul goes, no, my family, we stayed true. We didn't intermingle with anyone outside of like the Hebrew culture. Like we were pure in that completely. Now, these first four things that Paul lists on his spiritual resume are all like heritage thing. Paul didn't do anything to like, he didn't make the choice to be circumcised on the eighth day. That was his parents' choice. He didn't make the choice to be born into the nation of Israel. It wasn't his choice. He didn't do anything. Didn't have any actions at all in being born into the tribe that he was born into, the tribe of Benjamin. And neither did he in being raised in the Hebrew just culture. Those were all just things that he just inherited just because he was born. Now, the next couple, three things that we see on a spiritual resume, Paul said he was a Pharisee. And if you're not familiar with the Pharisees, these were the religious leaders of this particular time that really fought extremely hard to uphold the standard of God. These guys, if there was the law of Moses, I mean, they did everything almost to the T of what God had pointed out for them to do in the Mosaic law that we see in the Old Testament. And actually, there was different sectors in the Pharisees deal. And Paul was of the very highest of them. I mean, he was like a Pharisee amongst Pharisees. Paul also went forth to say, like, with zeal, like he persecuted the church. He loved the Lord, quote unquote, so much then when he was persecuting it that he believed that by him persecuting the church, anyone who went against what God had designed and set for man to do at that time, he believed that he was honoring God by persecuting individuals that really weren't living out their faith but claiming to be Christians. And so he did that with great zeal. And the last thing he goes to say, it's with righteousness. If you, all of these things here on his spiritual resume, he was fine. When it came to the law, he was found extremely faultless. He was found faultless. And I think this is how our world works today. In some ways, we do a lot of the same things. Back in high school, we joined certain clubs. We learned computer software programs. Why? Just so we can essentially put it on our resume. We typed it up on this fancy format and fancy font and put it on this fancy paper just so that we can submit it to somebody to let them know that, hey, I am extra overly qualified for this particular thing that I'm trying to get into. And when we're not careful, I believe we do the same thing with God, that we approach him in the same way, that we do these, we try to do all of these great things that we think will put a smile on his face, and we stand before him and go, God, look what I've done. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And we expect for us, through that, we're like, this is where my hope is found. This is how I get back in right standing with God. And Paul is just screaming here today, like, test me. Put your resume up against mine and see if that works. As I'm reading through Paul's resume, I go, what would a modern day resume for us look like? Like, what are some things that I feel like we as believers, we would cling, in moments of weakness, we would cling closely to that to say, yeah, I'm deserving of the faithfulness and the love of God because I do these things. I'm gonna share some things that I came up with on this modern day spiritual resume. And maybe it resonate with you. Some of them do, but or maybe they don't. But I'm going to read through them and we'll see what's what. Here, first on the spiritual resume, I was raised in the church. I grew up in the church. Raised in the church, grew up in the church. That's what I did. I'm a son or daughter of a pastor. Maybe you cling closely to that heritage of, not that you did anything to make that happen, but you were probably just simply born into that. For some of us, it may be I serve on a volunteer team. And not just any volunteer team. I serve in the nursery, right, with the little shrimps. So I'm a step above, right? I got the ultimate patience. God is going to look down on me and smile just a little bit more because I work with them. I faithfully attend the community group, or better yet, I lead one, right? That's got to give me a couple more points for sure. During praise and worship, you'll never catch me like this. No. I got both hands raised high to the sky, eyes closed, really pressing in, seeking the Lord. That's got to get me way more points than just standing there, right? I have a consistent Bible study, quiet time with the Lord, maybe 5 times a week. Maybe three to be more consistent and or to be more understanding than that. But that's still way better than what most people do. I memorize a certain amount of scriptures a month. I pray daily. And not only do I pray daily, man, I have a prayer journal, right? Do you want better? I raise my kids according to the statutes of God. I fight hard to pray with my girls every night and honor, like to model that before them that they may follow in the same steps. I've gone on countless of mission trips. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm not only seeking to serve the people in my community here in Gahanna, but we're over at Burkina Faso trying to do things as well. I disciple X amount of guys and girls. I'm really pouring into the next people, not becoming spiritually obese, but giving what has been given to me. And lastly here, I've attended the last four of Deeper Weekends. Right? That has to, the shameless plug there for sure, but Deeper Weekend is great. But maybe some of those things that was on this list, and I could go on and on. Whatever spiritual resume that you can think through in your mind that you may be clinging to, I want to share with you in these next verses here what Paul thinks about that, what Paul thought about his spiritual resume, and if Paul was up on this stage instead of me this morning, what he would think about yours as well. Let's look forward to that verse here. Verse 7, it says this. It says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage." Paul said, "I consider them as garbage." Now, these things on these spiritual resume, and I'm sure the spiritual resume that you may be thinking about in your head, I'm sure they're great things, right? They're great things that I would probably encourage a lot of you, keep walking in that. But the issue and the problem that comes into play is when we take those things and we put them in a place that they were never meant to be. When it becomes the thing that we look to or we hold fast to that we believe that gets us in right standing with God or gains us favor with the Lord. And Paul here in this verse that in this passage, in this verse here that we just read, Paul says, "I count all of that as loss. I count it all as loss, as trash. This whole thing is simply worthless in comparison to the knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus. Like, it doesn't even hold a candle. I no longer cling to those things when it comes to the knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior." And I pray that that will be our hearts and minds here today. That as we leave from here, that we would do the same thing or we would have the same attitude as Paul to say, all of that is trash. Are they good things? Yeah, they're great things. But put in a place where they're not meant to be, man, it's worthless. That doesn't deem me right before the Lord. That doesn't make, I mean, they're great things, but that doesn't make the Lord smile or gain me favor or great rapport with the Lord. But it's only through Christ Jesus, only through Christ Jesus in which that's the case. Verse 9 here, I think, brings it all home for us here in moving forward. It says, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, however, attaining to the resurrection from the death." This knowledge or this sense of Paul saying, "I want to know Christ," goes far beyond a knowledge of from me through me reading or word of mouth from other people. Not that those things are bad, but Paul is saying here, like, I want to know Christ from a basis of tasting and seeing and experience, right? I want to know Christ through me experiencing the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ through me participating in his suffering And I want to know Christ to the point of even knowing him to being like him in his death. It's this experience. It's not just a head knowledge or that, yeah, I've heard about that guy. Or yeah, I've read about the things that he's done. But it's this, Paul is saying, I want to know more on a deeper, intimate level of experiencing the power of his resurrection, of experiencing and participating in with his suffering and becoming like him in his death. And that needs to be the thing that we strive for as well. And I'm telling you, it doesn't come through you standing before him with your spiritual resume. I believe he looks at that and goes, okay. And so for us to make the mistake to cling to these things, we'll find ourselves in a world of trouble where we'll constantly be in this rut of trying to do things, and never feeling like we're satisfied. These things were never meant for us to be the things that we found hope in, or for us to feel as though if we do them enough or consistently that we will be in right standing with the Lord. This morning here, as we get ready to just to wrap up, I believe that there are two groups of us here that sit in this room this morning. I believe there are us that maybe you're here and you are really fighting and you're like figuring out this whole journey with Jesus and trying to see, is this something that I really want to dive into or understand? And then there's another group of us that we have been walking with the Lord. Like we, at some point in our lives, we've established some type of relationship with him and confessed him as Lord. And we've been walking with him for some time. I believe through this truth that's presented here this morning, there's something here for all of us. To the first group of people that's maybe just trying to figure things out with Jesus, I'll tell you this. This Christian faith, this walk with God, was never built upon any works. Was never built upon any works. Ephesians 2 says it so best, that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ. That it's not by anything that we do as a people that we can boast in, but it's only through the finished work done on the cross by Jesus. And so as you navigate through that, I want you to know that as you seek to really want to maybe dive into committing your life to the Lord, know that it's not by a list of things that you do that makes him smile at you or that gains favor for you from him. But it's only through the finished work done on the cross through Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and our belief in that, and our confession of that, of him as our Lord, that we are saved. To our second group, my second group of individuals, those of us who have a relationship with the Lord, I believe this serves as just a very much so simple reminder to you that as you continue to walk faithfully with your God, that you do not fall into this rut of thinking that you have to rely on these good works or these deeds for God to love you or gain favor. There is nothing that you can do to separate you from the love of God. And as a believer, I hope that you would know that it didn't start that way. And you entered into the relationship with the Lord, there was nothing that you brought to the table that was of any worth that deemed you righteous or in right standing with him. But it was only through Jesus Christ and what he did and your acceptance of that, that you were able to enter and be called a son and daughter of the living God. I believe so many of us as believers at times, Two groups of us in the believer sector, I believe, one of us, we walk around so prideful and so entitled to say, yeah, I do these things. So for sure, I deserve to be in right standing with you, God. I deserve to have a seat at the table with you there in heaven. And I go, that you got the game completely backwards. Remember that we put no confidence in the flesh. You weren't saved through your good deeds, and you won't be sustained in your righteousness by it either. And then there's another group of us within that believer sector where you are just dragging your feet and so bogged down and beat up because as much as you try and try over and over again to do great things, it never is good enough. You always find yourself just like, I don't measure up. I'm not as good as her. I'm not as good as him. I don't have a consistent quiet time. I don't feel like I pray enough. And you are in this rut and stuck in this mindset of, I just don't do enough. So therefore, God can't be pleased with me. He can't be in love with me. I can't be in right standing with him. And I just want to tell you again that you weren't saved by that. You never were. Now, do we, out of an overflow of just being so just enamored by what God has done and reflecting on that, do an outpour of that? Do good deeds follow? Yes, but these are not the things we hold fast to say that if I'm doing these things well, then I'm right with God. I am a father of two kids, two little girls, and I can tell you this. My girls were simply loved from the moment that they were born. There was nothing my girls had to do to gain my love. Nothing at all. And with me being an imperfect human being that falls and messes up time and time again, how much more will your perfect heavenly Father love you simply right where you are and not hold you to these deals that we try to cling closely to make you be in right standing with him? We put no confidence in the flesh. This morning, I pray that as we get ready to leave and walk out, that we would simply throw away our spiritual resumes. That we would throw away our spiritual resumes and accept the finished work that has already been done on the cross through Jesus Christ. There is nothing that you can do to separate you from the love of God. It has already been done. We live in a culture today that it's so hard to accept this gift of salvation because it's like this idea of what's the catch? Like clearly salvation or me being in right standing with God, it can't be that easy, right? But I'll tell you this, salvation and being right with God was never meant to be hard. It was just meant to be chosen. I think a lot of us make it hard because we feel as though we need to bring something to the table. And then it's a fair trade. It's an even trade. Then I think God will, he will be pleased with me and happy with me. Throw away the spiritual resumes. We put no hope and no confidence in the flesh, but rather we fix our eyes on the finished work done on the cross through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word that's true. Father, we even now just apologize for any moment and ask for your forgiveness for any moment where rather than being reminded of the sacrifice of Christ for our lives and how through belief in that has made us and being in right standing with you, we cling so closely to these spiritual disciplines, Lord, that will not bring about salvation, will not get us in right standing with you. Lord, I pray that you would just remove the scales from our eyes, that we would be able to see you clear as day, that we would fight to have the same attitude as Paul, that we would want to know you, that we would want to know you, God, that we want to experience you in your the power of your resurrection, experience you in your suffering, experience you in being like you in your death. Father, we lay these things down at your feet and ask that you would just have your way in our lives. And I thank you. We rejoice in knowing that we don't have to carry a burden or a weight of doing things to please you, but rather just accepting what you have already done for us. Thank you, Father, for that truth and that reminder this morning. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're gonna have our prayer team come up, and if there's anything that you need prayer for, we just ask that you would just go to them. They would want to pray for you in that area, and we're just going to uplift and praise the Lord in song and worship as we continue to move forward.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to attend a service, visit threecreekschurch.com.